Listen closely. You don't have to live with knee pain. You heard right. If you're 65 or older and suffering from knee pain, you may qualify for an advanced pain-relieving brace at little to no cost to you. Doctor Approved Medical, America's trusted resource for knee braces, will work with Medicare or insurance benefits to see if you qualify for these knee braces. Many people are now using our knee brace as an alternative to surgery or harmful medications and experience pain relief they haven't felt in years. The only way to see if you qualify is to call us. 800-816-0365. One of our friendly experts will handle all paperwork and have it delivered for free. Don't let your knee pain turn into something worse. Find out now about these advanced knee braces now covered by Medicare or insurance benefits. Call now and get free shipping, plus a complimentary, easy-to-use pedometer. 800-816-0365. 800-816-0365. 800-816-0365. Little to no cost with full insurance payment, copay, and deductible. Supply and promo subject to qualification while supplies last.
Live, worldwide, Sports Byline USA. And here's host, Ron Barr.
And wherever you might be across this great country of ours and around the world, I'm Ron Barr. Good to have you with us here on America's Sports Talk Show. Well, we're moving closer to the fan poll question when we asked you, who do you think would win a matchup between the Cleveland Cavaliers and the Golden State Warriors in the NBA playoffs? And it's still about a point difference between the fans that say it's going to be the Cavaliers and the fans that say it's going to be the Golden State Warriors. It's going to be very interesting. And in the game last night with Cleveland, they were trailing by 10 points. I think that was around halftime, and yet Cleveland came storming back. And it was Kyrie Irving who went off for 42 points, 34 points for LeBron. And I think that they just woke up and said, hey, we cannot lose this game and go back to Boston tied at 2-2. And so they went on to win the game by about 10. And so it gives them a 3-1 advantage. So it's going to be very interesting with those two teams in the playoffs. By the way, as you know, the NFL owners met. They cut the overtime period down from 15 to 10 minutes to decide a game if it goes into OT. And they made some rule changes about celebration in the end zone. And Bengals coach Marvin Lewis, not too happy about that decision to make the league more fun by loosening its strict celebration rules. And Lewis ripped the new rules for setting a bad example for young people. He said, I'm not for that at all. And we had a good standard, and the whole standard has always been you want to teach people how to play the game the correct way and go about it the correct way. That's not a very good example for young people, and he may be right about that. We're going to be talking to Nate Tiny Archibald in just a second, Hall of Fame guard who played 13 seasons. He won a championship. That was with the Boston Celtics. He averaged nearly 19 points a game and led the league in scoring with 34 points and 11 assists. It's the only time that that has been done. And he was a six-time All-Star. And then right after that, Donnie Allison's going to be here. You all know that name for sure. Former race car driver. He has a book out called Donnie Allison, As I Recall. He is the older brother. Or his older brother is the legend Bobby Allison, who won 10 Grand National and Winston Cup races. So we're ready to crank it up here. Good to have you with us. Nate Archibald next on Sports Byline.
This is a health warning from Doctor Approved Medical, America's trusted resource for back braces. If you're 65 or older and suffering from back pain, you may qualify to receive an advanced pain-relieving back brace at little or no cost to you. Many people are now using our pain-relieving back brace as an alternative to surgery or harmful medications and experience pain relief that they haven't felt in years. Don't let your back pain turn into something worse. Remember, if you qualify for no money out of pocket, there's nothing to lose and only real pain relief to gain. Our friendly team of experts will handle all paperwork and will deliver it for free. Just call 800-507-1148. Your pain-relieving back brace may be covered by Medicare at little or no cost to you. Call our hotline now and get free shipping, plus a complimentary, easy-to-use pedometer. 800-507-1148. 800-507-1148. 800-507-1148. Little to no cost with full insurance payment, copay, and deductible. Supply promo subject to qualification while supplies last.
Rebuild or replace transmission, $3,200. Anti-lock brake system, $1,000. Rebuild or replace engine, $2,400. Truth is, once your manufacturer's warranty runs out, it's all on you. Every last cent. Get protection for covered repairs with a vehicle service contract from Toco Warranty. Unlike other companies, with Toco, there's no down payment, and the monthly payments are really affordable. Not sure how long you're keeping your car? At Toco, you can pay as you go. Keep your hard-earned cash and call Toco Warranty right now at 800-222-2313 to save big money on covered auto repairs. Prices vary by vehicle, but for about the cost of a tank of gas per month, a Toco plan has your back on expensive covered car repairs. Monthly payments are very affordable. Get your free quote now. Call Toco at 800-222-2313. That's 800-222-2313. 800-222-2313. Cancellation fee may apply. Subject to eligibility. Not available in Missouri and Washington. Waiting period and deductible apply. Coverage provided and administered by Warren Tech Corporation or its affiliates. Not affiliated with any manufacturer or dealership. Visit TocoWarranty.com for complete terms and conditions.
My joints used to kill me. I'd wake up with stiff knees and a stiff back, and it wouldn't get much better throughout the day. I went to doctors and took almost every supplement you can think of, and nothing seemed to help. Then I found something called Oil Can Joint Lubricant. They use only top-of-the-line, all-natural ingredients, and I know many companies make similar claims, but here's the big difference. Oil Can ingredients are scientifically formulated to work together faster than anything else in the marketplace. That's guaranteed. I take Oil Can every day. My knee pain was gone just a few days. So if you have knee pain, back pain, and you've tried everything, try Oil Can Joint Lubricant risk-free right now. I'm confident you'll have fewer aches and pains within days, or we will gladly refund your money. Call right now. 800-989-1795. 800-989-1795. 800-989-1795. 800-989-1795.
This is America's Sports Talk Show, Sports Byline USA. Here's Ron Barr.
Well, with us tonight in this first hour, a man whose name will certainly be familiar to anybody who holds an interest in the sport of basketball. Bob Cousy once said, if there is one thing people can identify with in basketball, it's certainly the little man. And watching a guy at 6'1 do the things that this man did night after night was certainly a fabulous entertainment spectacle. He spent 13 seasons in the NBA. He also became the first player to lead the NBA in both scoring and assists during the 72-73 season with the Kansas City Omaha Kings, and was also the MVP in the 81 All-Star Game, the same year he won the NBA championship with the Boston Celtics. Of course, I'm talking about the great Tiny Archibald. Tiny, how are you tonight?
How you doing, Ron?
Hey, you know, I didn't realize, 6'1", I guess with the name Tiny, I thought you were about 5'6".
Well, that's just a nickname, just like Fats Lever. He's not fat. He's just that's just a nickname that was given to him.
How does a guy like you, even at 6'1", last 13 years in the NBA?
Ron, I don't know. I guess it was luck, and I prayed a lot, and it was probably because I was a lot quicker and scarier than those big guys. I kept running.
You really made things happen out there. The little guy is exciting in the NBA. What is the key to the little guy being even able to exist in the tall timber of the NBA?
Well, Ron, what I tried to do, even before I became an NBA player, and I think this is good for the youngsters to listen to, I tried to prepare myself and learn the basic fundamentals. When I was younger, we had a lot of the drills, passing and dribbling and shooting that a lot of the camps and a lot of the coaches are instructing youngsters to go to and to do. And I think those things that I developed helped me enhance in my basketball endeavors, because being a small man, and everybody says, well, you know, when you have questions from the youngsters, can you dunk? No, I never got a dunk in a game. But what I try to do is master certain skills to go out there and play amongst the Giants.
Yeah, you know, I've always had the feeling that if you had limited offensive skills, and I may be wrong, correct me if I am, Tiny, but if you were able to do something very good, like maybe be a good assist man or play pretty good defense, being able to button down somebody, you can probably always find a spot in the NBA.
Well, I think more and more coaches, Ron, are looking for a role player, not a person like myself in the 70s who, you know, score a lot of points. But I think sooner or later down the road, he's going to be – concentrating on the rest of his teammates, contributing into his efforts. He's getting a lot of points. He's getting a lot of, you know, he's scoring. He's getting a lot of assists. But he needs that input from the rest of his players. And me being a scorer when I first, you know, got into the NBA, I think it hurt me in a way because I didn't play that kind of defense and I wasn't, you know, focused on as far as passing the ball. But as I got a little older, I realized that I had to work on different facets of my game. And, you know, I went on to Boston and Milwaukee, and I think those were the true tests for me, learning to be a part of a team opposed to just being the main man.
Yeah, I would think it was awfully hard if you're expected to carry a ball club, and you certainly were with Kansas City and Omaha, to also feel like you have to play a little bit of defense. Is that just too much to ask for one person, well, to be both an assist man, a scorer, and to do all those things?
Well, I think that the basketball players today can do it all. And then you have some guys that who, you know, I idolize Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and not because he's ancient, it's because he's lasted. Longevity is a big part of the NBA to me. Learning and developing a skill in order to be out there game in, game out, year in and year out. And he's one of the probably the few guys who have lasted. And I was talking about Kareem today with a guy. He says, well, you know, Kareem played a long time. I said, the only thing that helped a guy like Jabbar, when Jabbar came into college, they outlawed the dunk. People don't realize that. Jabbar couldn't dunk. And he had to become an offensive player, but he couldn't dunk. So he developed a sky hook. And Bill Russell never had a sky hook. Will Chamberlain never had a sky hook. The only one who came close to it was probably Willis Reed. Magic says he has a mini hook. But being that big, he mastered a shot that nobody in this game, as of now, has mastered: how to block it, how to defend it. And I think this is what longevity is about: learning a skill, developing it, and then pursuing your goals.
Tiny, when you take a look at somebody like Kareem, and he was around for such a long time, but I know there were a lot of people saying that maybe he should have retired a year or two earlier. What's your feeling about that? Is it difficult for an athlete who's had a great career to walk away from the game? Is that timetable tough for them? Do they want to decide it themselves rather than having it forced on them?
Ron, I think it's very critical, okay? I played with Milwaukee my last year, and I tore my hamstring. And the next year, I was idle. I wasn't in the NBA. And it's difficult because I thought that, you know, in my mind, I said, well, maybe I should give it another shot. But my body wasn't able to go out there. I think Kareem has kept himself in phenomenal shape. I mean, he's just one of those athletes that he runs, and people don't know that part about Kareem. He conditions his body, he runs, and Kareem was never a power player. He's a finesse player. You see him gliding, running down. He doesn't waste energy. He glides when he runs and stuff. So people have to learn those parts. And when I got a little older or got more experience in the NBA, and people say, well, Tiny, you're a lot older, you still look quicker. Ron, it's experience. You learn from experience that I started taking a lot of shortcuts, okay, and cheating, okay? But I don't teach that to the kids. But then you get smart. You say, well, why should I run? Because I ain't going to get the ball on this play. Or I know this guy going to pass it to somebody. I'm going to burst out and try to get a couple steps on my defensive man, and maybe I can get the finish off a play. But experience carries over. And to get back to your point, I think it's up to the player. If it's in his heart and in his blood, Ron, I think, and everybody's going to say I'm wrong, I think you got to look at this. I disagree with people. I think it's up to the player, and I'm glad for him that he's getting all what he can get, and he's getting all what he's worth, and he's going to bow down. But if he wanted to play another year, Ron, I don't think nobody can stop that. I just don't think so.
I'll tell you, I love it. I love an athlete who will tell it like it is. I have said to many athletes, or asked them this question: when does the mind take over from the body, if you know what I mean? When you become a little bit smarter about your play, and you just answered that question. Is it a little bit easier, though, Tiny, to hide the fatigue, hide the injury, hide the age when you're 7'7", than it might be if you're 6'1", because you have that natural ability, that height?
Right. Well, I don't know if Kareem has ever been suffered a major injury, like a torn Achilles tendon or a knee injury. You know, he's gotten, you know, detached retinas and stuff. That's why he wears the glasses. But a player my size, and the way I played in my career, I exhausted more energy because my thing was my speed and quickness, and I had to go 90 feet. Kareem is much more experienced, where he doesn't have to do a whole lot of running. He pitches the ball out to Magic. Magic gets the offense rolling or the fast break rolling. Kareem is not a big part of that fast break. I was a big part of the fast break with Kansas City, Boston, and Milwaukee. So what I'm doing is I'm exuberating more energy than Kareem, and I'm not 7 foot, so I got to play tougher defense. And the teams that I was on, I wasn't fortunate to play on some of the better teams. Kareem is always, to me, okay, and this is my opinion, Ron, has always, once he got, I mean, he played with Oscar when he was in Milwaukee his first year, and after that with the Lakers. And if you looked at his career, he's never had a bad team. He's always had a good team or the best teams because they won the world championship.
Mm-hmm. Hold on just a second, Tiny. We're going to break right here, kick open our lines across the country. If you'd like to talk a little basketball with a guy that'll tell it just like it is, Tiny Archibald is with us here on Sports Byline USA. If you'd like to get his feeling about a particular player, maybe about the NBA playoffs coming up, give us a call. It is toll-free to you across America. I'm Ron Barr. You're listening to Sports Byline USA.
Dish TV is better than cable TV. Why? Because you can save 45% on packages compared to your high-priced cable bill. Wow. Take those giant scissors out and cut the cable and save with Dish TV. Plus, you get a free DVR upgrade to record your favorite shows and free installation. And with Dish Anywhere, you can watch TV for free on your mobile device. Act fast. You can save hundreds of dollars. Does your cable company do that for you? I don't think so. Get all the best TV programming at your fingertips at a fraction of the price of cable TV. So say adios, arrivederci, goodbye to the high cable bill, and save up to 45% on Dish TV packages today. These are limited time offers and can change at any time. Call fast. 800-405-2561. 800-405-2561. 800-405-2561. That's 800-405-2561.
Hey there. Did you know that with a bachelor's degree, on average, you could make almost twice as much over a lifetime than a person with just a high school diploma? It's true. According to the 2012 U.S. Census Bureau, college grads with a bachelor's degree make almost twice as much as high school grads. Now, going back to school is easier than ever at Independence University. Log on and complete coursework from the park or the beach or even your couch watching the kids. And Independence University gives you the tools, a free tablet and laptop for undergrad students to use and keep when they graduate. That's right. Get a laptop so you can go to college from anywhere. Take the first step to a new career in business, information technology, healthcare, or graphic arts. Call to find the online degree program that's right for you, and you could be on your way to increasing your earning potential.
800-797-1256. 800-797-1256. That's 800-797-1256.
Do you use the blue pill to charge your sex life? Have you been thinking about trying the blue pill? What if we can promise you the same results for less than $3 a pill? If you're paying $20 a pill for the other pills, you're getting taken to the cleaners. Our pill delivers the exact same results for less than $3. We'll do the math for you. You'll save more than $16 a pill for the same results. Want more? We'll give you 40 blue pills or 40 yellow pills for $99 and add 4 more pills free. You save more than $500. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to know what to do next. You need to call and get your 44 pills for just $99. Stop overpaying for the other blue pills. Call us and start saving a ton of money for the exact same results. Ordering is fast and easy with your pills delivered to your door in a non-marked package. 800-223-0992. 800-223-0992. 800-223-0992. That's 800-223-0992.
This is America's Sports Talk Show, Sports Byline USA. Here's Ron Barr.
Taking a look at the scoreboard and the numbers in the American League, it was Minnesota with a sweep of the Baltimore Orioles, winning the getaway game 4-3 behind Jose Berrios. He had another strong effort. Twins led 4-0 after two. Oakland also getting the getaway game with Miami 4-1. Sonny Gray, strong effort as well, allowed 3 hits over 7 innings, struck out 11, and Chris Davis went deep with home run number 14. Yankees blanking Kansas City 3-0. Severino allowed 4 hits over 8 shutout innings. Gregorius going deep for the Yankees. Texas falls big to Boston 9-4, so the Sox have won 3 in a row as the Rangers booted the ball 3 times. Betts and Pedroia each with 2 RBIs. Tampa Bay 5-2, better than the Angels, so that stops the Rays' 3-game losing streak. Rasmus and Souza with home runs in that one. Toronto doubling up Milwaukee 8-4. Jays had 10 hits. 4 of them were home runs, and they put it away with 5 in the 6th. Arizona 8-6 over the White Sox, so the D-backs sweep. They jumped out to an 8-1 lead. Lamb with home run number 13 in that one. Seattle falls to Washington 5-1. Nats had a 4-run inning. Rendon had a 3-run home run in that first inning. Rourke 1 run over 7 innings to get the victory. And it was Colorado 7, Philadelphia 2. And that's your sports update.
Patroni Vineyards produces Paggio Ella Pietra, California's first gold medal winning Sangiovese Grosso grape, cloned from Italy's Brunello di Maracino. To enjoy Paggio Ella Pietra's rich, seductive flavors, visit PatroniVineyards.com and become a wine club member today.
And if you'd like to talk to Tiny Archibald, he's available to you. Tiny, let's go back to your high school days, DeWitt Clinton, Bronx, New York. How good were you then?
Wasn't good at all, Ron. I was just, and I know a lot of people don't believe this, I was just one of the many players on the team. We had 15 guys on the team, and I was one of the 15 guys. And we, you know, we had a lot of talent. It's almost like, you know, I was at UTEP as an assistant, and I went to Crenshaw High School, which is in Los Angeles. He had 250 youngsters try out for his varsity team. And his JV team, he had almost 150. I was just fortunate that I played a little basketball, and some of the guys, believe this, Ron, some of the guys on the team told the coach, this kid can play. Willie Worsley, who I became teammates with at DeWitt Clinton, then later on at the University of Texas at El Paso, told the coach that, hey, you need to look at this kid, he can play. And sometimes it's who you know and not what you do that can get you in the right place at the right time.
Is that a hotbed of basketball talent, though, in a sense, where you went to high school? Did they
it
have
was
a
lot? At one time, because now you have to go to the public schools in your district. That, you know, the Catholic school and the private schools in New York City now have so many of the good kids, because you got like Our Savior Lutheran, Tallentine, which is some of the better schools, and the Bronx, going to these schools, and they're from Brooklyn and Queens. So there's no territory, there's no district. And public schools are suffering now because they don't have the kind of talent that the private and the Catholic schools have. Plus, Ron, a lot of the kids are getting a lot smarter. The ability is there, but they know that in order to go to the Michigans and the Syracuse and the Georgetowns and the UNLVs, their grades have to be up to par. So they're prepared to do the Catholic school and the private school route, knowing that they're going to get that private tutelage to get them to get their grades and stuff, because they already got the basketball talent.
Mm-hmm, I see what you mean. Let's go to Denver, Colorado. John, go ahead.
Yeah, who's that gentleman that was formerly an NBA player? What's his name?
You mean with us tonight?
Yeah.
Tiny Archibald.
Archibald. What year did he play? What years?
Go ahead, Tiny, tell him.
I played in 1970. I got into the league with the Cincinnati Royals.
Uh-huh.
They became the Kansas City Omaha Kings. After a year, they just became Kansas City.
Uh-huh.
I played with the Buffalo Braves.
Uh-huh.
I played with the New York Nets. Played with the Boston Celtics and the Milwaukee Bucks. I retired in 1984.
Okay. Do you have you read any history on the NBA? If you think back in the early 50s, there was a gentleman by the name of Vince Barella, and he had a skyhook.
Uh-huh.
I heard you make a comment earlier that nobody developed a skyhook.
Bill Russell didn't have a skyhook. Will Chamberlain didn't have a skyhook.
Uh-huh.
George Mikan, who was 6'9", was came closer with a sky hook than any of those guys. I said 7 foot players. Magic Johnson is 6'9" and a half, uh-huh. and he has a mini sky hook. But none of the other players up to date have a sky hook. Uh-huh. That's what I was talking.
Well,
about.
Well, I didn't understand about you referring to the 7 footers.
Well,
see,
I have. Carollo
was about a 6'3", uh-huh. and he played with Denver University, and then went on to play with the New York Knicks. And became a general manager of the New York Knicks.
Uh-huh.
And back in early 50s, he, I remember one game he scored over 53 points.
Okay.
So, and that was back in early 50s when there was no dunk. I don't believe there was one-hand shots at that time either.
Right. It was mostly with the two-hand sets. But see, I like that type of basketball now with the youngsters because they have so much ability. They fail to understand that sometimes you have to pass the ball, you have to pick and screen. And I think a lot of the youngsters with so much talent get away from the basics. Okay, you see the picking and screening and the rolling and what I call the no-dribble basketball, where they just pass the ball and you see guys moving like ants all over the floor. I like that kind of basketball.
Tiny Archibald is with us. Let me stay back into your childhood in a sense. Did you ever play any basketball on the school grounds and the playgrounds around New York?
Ron, all the time.
Okay, I'm gonna ask you now. Tell us about some of the legends. We had Chris Mullen in here, and he talked about some of those guys. I guess there was a lot of those in-your-face type of guys on the playgrounds.
You're talking about guys that, to me, never played in the NBA. Okay, that had NBA talent. I'm going to mention a couple guys, and people out in California who are from back east would know these guys. First guy on my list, the guy that I hated his guts, okay, Richard Pee Wee Kirkland. He was about 6'3", Ron. He ran like a reindeer. He can dunk, he post up, he can shoot, he can play defense. And for people that don't know Pee Wee Kirkland, he went to Norfolk State. Graduated, okay, won the most valuable player when they won that. I think they were in the NAIA back then. Pee Wee Kirkland got drafted by the Chicago Bulls, okay. He was a terror. The next guy, Joe, they call him the Destroyer Hammond, okay. He scored, I did a game on ESPN, okay. He scored 83 points. L.A., Jerry West watched this game and seen Joe. But Joe was a kind of a street guy, Ron. You got to understand now, these guys are just street guys, okay? But in the summertime, there's no boundaries. Ron, they don't care if you play in the NBA, ABA, overseas. This is their NBA right there. 155th Street, 145th Street, you know, the Rucker Playground. This is their NBA. People come out to see these guys perform. They don't care about no NBA guys, okay? Those were the two guards. The big man in the middle, Helicopter. They call him the
yep.
Helicopter Man. Okay.
Now this
Herman
guy,
Helicopter Knowles.
This guy was something else. Mullen was talking about him as well.
Right.
This guy, he said that he saw him one time score something like 100 points a ball game.
Well, I didn't see him score that many points, Ron. He to me was a defensive whiz. And you know, Ron, you have to understand, the NBA is different than playing in the playgrounds. Okay, when guys have reputations, you can get away with murder. Okay, Herman would stand under the basket, and you know outside sometime when you do make a good play or a good block, the referees let you do it all the time. Somebody took a shot. I seen this. Somebody took a shot, was going in for a layup. He caught it and threw the ball over the fence. I mean, literally threw it over the fence, and it was a good block. When you can get away with that, you can pin shot. Well, in the summertime, you can pin shots and leave it up there so somebody else can pin it. He pinned the shot, okay? Somebody else pinned it. Then he pinned it with two hands and grabbed it and threw it down the court. So, I mean, you can get away with things. The next legend, and this guy plays in the NBA, okay, when I seen him when I was growing up, Connie Hawkins.
Right.
I mean, Connie wasn't even in the NBA. He played with some of the ABA Pittsburgh Pipers, but then he went with the Globetrotters. I've never seen anybody with hands. They look like gloves on them, you know, handling the ball, passing. And Connie wasn't, to me, Ron, Connie wasn't a great jumper like the Doctor and Michael Jordan, but his hands, he learned that, you know, what I call that handling the ball and fancy stuff from the Globetrotters, and he would put you to shame, okay? The next guy is... Ed Simmons. They called him the Tsar. I mean, he would walk in the playgrounds, Ron, and this is New York, just like in California, with his hat turned around backwards, sneakers untied. Now, the kids can relate to this. Sneakers untied. Don't look like he's ready to play. He'd play with his sneakers untied, his hat on, pass the ball, talk mess, give me the ball, get open, get over there on the side, get in the three-point lane, and he'd do all these passes to you, and the people would just ooh and ah, and you just get your jollies off watching these guys.
I love hearing you talk about the playgrounds. I mean, that's what it's really all about.
You're right.
Somebody once said that when you play playground basketball, a foul is a two-shot foul is if you're shot, a one-shot foul is if you're knifed or something.
But it's great when you see that kind of atmosphere, when you see, I mean, you got kids hanging in the trees, hanging on the fence because they can't get a seat. I mean, the playground is so packed. I mean, there's people all over. And then you going out there doing, it's not even, Ron, it's not even a game. Okay, I call it entertainment, where you see a guy, everybody's like just watching you and me. I'm going through my legs 50 times, I throw a behind the back pass, somebody goes in and dunks, and you know, I mean, it's just like entertainment now. It's mm-hmm. not really a game, because in these summer league games, you got guys that can play D, but it's not, Ron, that's not the part of the game.
Yeah.
Defense is not a part of the game. You can score 153, 145, and scores like that. You know there's not that much defense played in the summer. But everybody's there to have fun and be entertained, but just to play basketball.
But I had to let you talk about the playgrounds because, man, I'll tell you, I know what you're talking about.
I love it.
Tiny, listen, thank you very much. It has been a joy to have you on tonight. I've been wanting to get you here on Sports Byline, and you have a spot anytime you want on this show because we're going to talk more basketball with you. We'll keep in touch with you. We'll touch base, get your thoughts about things because it's very obvious you're a man that loves the sport.
Thank you, Ron.
Take care of yourself.
Say hello to all the people out in California.
Okay. Tiny Archibald joining us across America tonight on Sports Byline USA. To those people that didn't get in, we're sorry, but I'll tell you what, we'll have him back on another show. We'll break right here. Don't go away. You're listening to Sports Byline USA.
Hey, travelers, do you want to save money on your next flight? Then pick up the phone and call. That's right, call, because the best prices are not online. They're with SmartFares. See, SmartFares has special deals with the airlines. When they have unsold seats, they use SmartFares to fill them. So you get airline tickets at ridiculously low prices. Our prices are too low to publish online. With the extra money you'll save, you can book another trip or treat yourself to dinner or shopping. So stop searching all of those travel sites to find the lowest price on your next flight. Let one of our SmartFares expert travel agents find ridiculously low prices for you. Call SmartFares today and get the best price on your next flight. Guaranteed. Also, save up to 50% off business and first class tickets.
855-325-1780. 855-325-1780. That's 855-325-1780.
Tired of calls, levies, and liens from the IRS or hiring others who don't get the job done? Call Wall & Associates and you'll never talk to the IRS again. The IRS has a program to eliminate tax debt, and Wall & Associates professionals are trained to maximize its benefits for you. You always speak with a live person with real support and real knowledge. We've helped thousands of taxpayers like you settle their tax debt with the IRS for a fraction of what they owe. We solve tax problems. Call Wall & Associates now, 800-480-5708. We have the professionals who know how to solve tax problems. If you owe money to the IRS, your tax problems are not going away by themselves, and the passage of time will only make matters worse. Act now, before it's too late. Call Wall & Associates right now to speak to a professional tax relief agent. Call 800-480-5708. That's 800-480-5708. Again, 800-480-5708.
Are you an inventor who would like to try to have an invention or idea patented and submitted to companies, but you don't know what to do next? Call for free information from InventHelp. InventHelp, a leading inventor service company, has been helping inventors since 1984 and has sales offices located in more than 60 cities nationwide. You'll want to talk to the company that has helped secure more than 7,000 invention patents. So call InventHelp. Even if you have an idea for improving an existing product and don't know where to go with it, you'll still want to call InventHelp for free information. You'll find out how InventHelp may assist you in trying to patent your invention and submit it to companies. So call now.
Call InventHelp at 1-800-316-1738. That's 1-800-316-1738. Get your free information by dialing 1-800-316-1738. That's 1-800-316-1738. 1-800-316-1738.
This is America's Sports Talk Show, Sports Byline USA. Here's Ron Barr.
Certainly one of the great auto racing names and families is the Allison name and family, and Donnie Allison is one half of that family. I'm talking about the older brother, of course, is the racing legend Bobby Allison. Won 10 Grand National Winston Cup races, raced in 242 races, and he has a great book out called Donnie Allison, As I Recall. And I get the sense, Donnie, that this book is an effort to kind of set the record straight. Am I correct about that?
Well, yeah, I've been asked, you know, especially all my later career and after I really stopped driving, people really didn't understand what I had accomplished, and he would ask me, and finally I said, well, I think I'm going to do a book on my side of the story, and that's why I named it As I Recall, because it's things that happened to me over my career in racing, and I can't really understand myself why a lot of the controversy. The first live televised race, I'm going to win the race. I get wrecked three-quarters of a mile from the start-finish line, and a fight breaks out. And so I'm known more for a fight, really, than I am a particular race. Then I go to Atlanta, and I win the race at Atlanta, and they try to give it to Richard Petty. It's politically correct for Richard to win. I guess it wasn't for me, and it was quite a fiasco. It's all in the book. And then I go back to my early career days. You know, I started racing in Alabama in 1959-60 and won a tremendous amount of short track races, but I always in a little bit of the shadow of the Alabama gang, being Bobby and Red and myself. But I don't know. It's not a book to cry by any stretch of the imagination, but it does let people know what my side of what went on.
Let's talk about your early roots in racing, and tell me about the Alabama gang, about how it came together and what the essence of that group was.
Well, when that came about, really, there's a little bit of a controversy between Bobby and I of how it actually started. I remember the promoter at Montgomery was named Bob Harmon. He went later on. He started the All-Pro race series. People would remember a little bit and ran it very successfully and sold it to NASCAR. But anyway, he was a promoter at Montgomery. And Red and Bobby and myself, we traveled together all the time. You know, we'd show up at the racetrack, the three of us together, three trucks, three trailers, three cars, and what have you. And he would say, here comes the Alabama gang. Well, then we went up to North Carolina, and Jack Ingram said it. He was a pretty good racer and was right up there, and he said, here comes that damn Alabama gang. So that name stuck with the press. And at the time, Ron, I didn't think about it as being the Alabama gang, but then I got to thinking, you know, we show up between the three of us. We run first, second, and third, or first, second, and fourth, or somewhere like that every night. So we were the gang. We were taking the money.
When I think back to those early days of racing, stock car racing down in Alabama and throughout the South, I mean, I think a lot of people think of Tobacco Road and you know, that sort of thing. What were those early days really like?
Well, you know, there was a lot of the stuff that went on that they documented in movies, the moonshine and stuff like that. Bobby and I were raised in Miami, Florida. We weren't raised in Alabama. We were raised in Miami, Florida. We went up there because some friend of ours said there was good racing up there, which there was. That's the reason why we went. But that was a way of life in Alabama, Georgia, Tennessee, and that area at the time. You know, the moonshining, so to speak, was the way that the poor man made him a little extra money.
Tell me about the first car that you had.
First race car I had?
Yeah.
It was a 1940 Ford with a flathead Ford engine with a two-barrel carburetor. That was called an Amateur. That was in Florida. I left my amateur car with my oldest brother, Eddie, when Bobby and I first went to Alabama. I went to help Bobby. Well, another friend of mine and his driver, they got in a little discussion on Friday night. The driver left and went back to South Florida. And Saturday night at Montgomery, Kenny Andrews says to Bobby, who should I get to drive my car? And Bobby said, let Donnie drive it. So that was my first modified race ever in Montgomery that night. And I hadn't been driving a race car for probably 6-8 months and when I got in a modified. But I did reasonably well. I think I finished 8th the first night and then went to a little bull ring in Atlanta, Georgia on Saturday night and, on Sunday and run 5th. Well, that started my racing career. From that time on, that's all I've really ever done. I've had jobs in the wintertime back in Florida when we used to travel back there, but predominantly I raced all my life.
One of the things certainly, Donnie, is in any family is sibling rivalry, whether it be brother and brother or sister and sister. But I love what it says in the book. You say, I love my brother very much and always will. But when we buckled up the seat belts and the chin straps in a race car, you couldn't find two fierce competitors. When we were in our race cars, he was my brother, but he was also another race car driver. And I wanted to beat him as bad or worse than anybody else I ever raced against. So I drove especially hard when I was racing Bobby. Take me into that racing competition between you two?
Well, actually, it started out when my very first weekend of racing. Well, the second night I raced, I wrecked his car. They talked him in and let me drive his car. It was running really well. He'd won both preliminary races he was in, and I had messed an axle key up in my car. And Kenny Andrews, in fact, the boy that I drove a modified for, was the one that talked him in and let me drive his car in a Concy. Well, I wrecked it. I said, well, if he could win, I could win. Well, I didn't know from nothing what I was doing. I mean, I was as green as grass. But anyway, they took me to the hospital, found out I was okay. I hit my head on the roll bars pretty bad. I mean, I wrecked bad. I mean, there was no question about it. And when I got back to the shop, Bobby was cutting the car up. It was wrecked that bad. And when he saw I was all right, then I think he got a little bit upset and said, you'll never make a race car driver. And I said, well, I'll just show you. And so that really got me going. That got me started. Then as we raced on, like I said, it was Bobby Reed and myself first and second in no certain order. But I wanted to beat Bobby really bad, but I wanted to beat anybody. My mother used to say all the time about the Winston Cup races, I want you and Bobby to have a dead heat. You know, 5 times we run first and second, 4, I was first. And I told my mother, I said, Mom, that'll never happen. She says, why not? You run first and second. I said, Mom, I'm not going to let him tie me, and he's not going to let me tie him.
In the book, you also discuss that famous fight. You alluded to it a little bit earlier. The first stock car race that was ever televised was the Daytona 500 in 1979. And, of course, people do remember the fight that you got into with Cale Yarborough. So I'm going to give you the opportunity to set the record straight, Donnie.
Okay. The actual wreck started way before you got to see it start on television. I mean, the cars crashing down the back straightaway, that was after effect. We crashed up in the corner finally, and we ended up down in the grass, and Cale and I were out, and we had some pretty heated words with each other there, and people don't believe this when I tell them, but that was the third time I should have won the Daytona 500, and I was really hurt more than I was mad, if that's understandable. I mean, here I am. 3/4 mile from the finish line for the third time I should have won the race, and I'm sitting in the infield crash, and Richard Petty's winning another one of the races I should have won. And so Cale and I, we had a pretty good discussion there, which you can't repeat on TV or radio yet. And the race got over, and Bobby come driving up, and he asked me, was I all right? I said, yes. And all this time, Cale's walking over to his car, and he said something to Bobby about being the one causing stuff. Bobby blocked all day, whatever, and punched Bobby. And so I ran, grabbed Cale by the arm, and I spun him around. I said, "You want to fight? I'm the guy you need to be fighting with." Well, Bobby Allison got out of that car so fast that day. I don't know how. He got everything unhooked, his radios, his seat belts, and everything he had. But he was out, and I saw that look as a child. I knew what was going to happen. And then the fight started. And it wasn't very pleasant. I did try to remind Bobby one time we're on national television. Of course, that was against deaf ears. And really and truthfully, I think, like my mother, she could not believe it was Cale and Bobby fighting, not me and Cale. And I said, "Mom, the good thing is, the good Lord looked out after both of us twice that day, one time in the wreck, and the other time he never touched me. Because if he ever touched me, I want to tell him, what I'd have pulled my dad on him, he would have got hurt bad."
You know, Donnie, I've recently seen the videotape of the end of that wreck, or at least the end of the race, when you guys were bumping each other, and it was just an amazing race and how it all ended. When you look at the way racing is done on the NASCAR circuit today, what thoughts do you have when you compare it to the time when you were racing?
Well, there's two things. It's very much involved, and I think that the people have to understand, Ron, that at that time, that was the end of the race, and it was two of us. It was no different than Richard and David and their wreck. It was two. Now, at the end of the race, there's 10 or 12 or 15 of them. And you're really at the mercy of the other guy. We, back when I was doing it, we more or less handled things ourselves. The press didn't handle it for us. You know, they would get involved after the fact, but we would go ahead and handle it just like the fight at Daytona in 79. I don't care. They fined Bobby, Cale, and myself $6,000 apiece that day, which was a lot of money in 79. But the fine, it didn't bother me a bit. And I know it didn't bother Bobby or Cale either one. But the guys now, for what they have, Ron, they do a fantastic job. You know, there's a little crying here and there, but there's always been that.
We only got a couple minutes left, Donnie, but I get the sense today on the NASCAR circuit that it comes down more to strategy than it does driving. And what I mean by that is, do you take two tires or four car tires? Do you take fuel or not take fuel? Whereas when you were driving, it really did ultimately come down to who was the best driver. Am I correct in that observation?
Well, you know, we did the same thing, though. We used a lot of the strategy of whether we take two tires or four tires or change maybe just lefts instead of rights and get in a position to win like that. Now, the advantage the guys have now is they have engineers looking at everything. They know exactly how far they can go gas-wise. They know exactly what they need tire-wise. And it's a little different in that respect. And not to say it's better or worse or whatever, but I like to put it back in the mechanics and the driver's hands. I would like to see it come down to strictly driver, but that won't happen again.
Donnie, congratulations on the book, and thank you for sharing the memories, because certainly the Allison name is one of the great names associated with stock car racing, and I think people will get a lot out of this book. Donnie, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Ron. I hope the guys overseas heard me. Thank you, boys.
Donnie Allison. The name of this new book is Donnie Allison, As I Recall. And, of course, he won 10 Grand National and Winston Cup races and, of course, won a lot of the big races. We continue across the country and around the world as we continue with more of you and America's Sports Talk Show.
When you struggle with credit card bills every month, you're not just in debt. Debt is all around you.
I see people every day that are on the brink. They're going to go over the edge, and at the bottom is bankruptcy, and we pull them back.
At the Debt Helpline, we're experts at helping you resolve your debt problems and become free of debt. We can help you pay off your debt and give you one lower monthly payment that you can afford.
You do get to consolidate your payments. You only have to worry about making one payment a month instead of making three or four or five.
If you have $5,000, $10,000 or more in credit card bills, call the Debt Helpline now for a free confidential debt analysis.
800-957-6063. 800-957-6063.
call the CESI Debt Helpline right now for a free confidential debt review. 800-957-6063. 800-957-6063.
Attention to anyone that's written a book or wants to write a book. The process is not that complicated. Take a first step. Even if you write a page a day, you'll build momentum and your book will become a reality. The hard part is getting it published. That's when you need to call Page Publishing. They've got hundreds and hundreds of thank yous from different new authors, just like you. They make the process of publishing your new book and getting it sold online a simple process. You can learn how simple it is right now by calling for your free Page Publishing new author submission kit. One quick 3-minute phone call, that's all it takes to get free information and learn how you can get your book published. Pick up your phone right now and call us 24 hours a day at this number. 800-603-0885. 800-603-0885. 800-603-0885. That's 800-603-0885.
The sun can make your outdoor deck and patio space so hot and uncomfortable you can't use it. But now there's the Sunsetter Retractable Awning. A Sunsetter Retractable Awning opens and closes in just 60 seconds, and it keeps your patio about 20 degrees cooler. It provides instant shade and protection from the sun's harmful rays. You can get your Sunsetter for as little as $5.99 when you call now to get your special $200 discount certificate and free awning idea kit. You're going to love your Sunsetter Retractable Awning. Sunsetter awnings are assembled in America and guaranteed to last. So call 800-692-0268 now to get a free awning idea kit with DVD plus your $200 Sunsetter discount certificate. This is a limited time offer, so call 800-692-0268. That's 800-692-0268 for your free awning idea kit with DVD and $200 discount certificate. There's no obligation, so call 800-692-0268 now.
This is America's Sports Talk Show, Sports Byline USA. Here's Ron Barr.
Another run through the numbers in the National League. Toronto doubling up Milwaukee 8-4. Jays with 10 hits. Four of them were long balls, home runs, and the Jays put this one away with five in the sixth inning. Also, Arizona outlasted the White Sox 8-6, so they sweep that series. They jumped out to an 8-1 lead. Lamb getting home run number 13. Washington holding off Seattle 5-1. The Nats had a four-run first inning. The big hit was Rendon's three-run home run. Rourke's a winner, one run over seven innings. Colorado 7-2 better than Philadelphia. The Rocks have won 8 of 11, and they scored all seven of those runs in the third inning. Gonzalez a three-run shot. San Diego edged the Mets 6-5. Pods win it on Renfro's eighth-inning home run there. Over on the American League side, it was Minnesota 4, Baltimore 3, a rare sweep for the Twins in Baltimore, as Jose Berrios had another strong effort. Twins led 4-0 after 2. Oakland also beating Miami 4-1 thanks to Sonny Gray. Allowed 3 hits over 7 innings, struck out 11. Chris Davis home run number 14 in that one. The New York Yankees blank Kansas City 3-0. Severino 4 hits over 8 shutout innings. Gregorius a home run for the New Yorkers. Boston pounded Texas 9-4, so the Sox now have won 3 in a row. The Rangers helped out by booting the ball 3 times. Betts and Pedroia, each with 2 RBIs. And Tampa Bay 5, Angels 2. That stops the Rays' 3-game losing streak as Rasmus and Souza both go deep. That's your sports update.
Patroni Vineyards produces Paggio Ella Pietra, California's first gold medal-winning Sangiovese Grosso grape, cloned from Italy's Brunello di Montesino. To enjoy Paggio Ella Pietra's rich, seductive flavors, visit PatroniVineyards.com and become a wine club member today.
Nice to talk some auto racing with Donnie Allison, one of the great names in motorsports history. And, of course, check out the book. It's called Allison, As I Recall. And also, he may have been short in stature, but boy, was he big in talent. Named one of the 50 greatest NBA players ever. Hall of Famer Nate Tiny Archibald with us. Don't forget, check out the award-winning Sports Byline USA website. We've got the fan poll question there. And if you want to listen to the network anytime online, just go to the homepage. And at the very top, it says Listen Live. Click on it. We're right there with you. I'm Ron Barr. Thanks for being a part of America's Sports Talk Show.
If you missed something from today's show, you can find it now on iHeartRadio Talk,
That's iHeartRadio.com/talk. A special news and update station you control. Follow us on iHeartRadio Talk and stay in touch 24/7.
USA Radio News with Rod Williams Dole.
And we'll talk to you about that later.
Yeah, but there's not going to be time. I'm just curious if you have
the option. Speak with Shane, please.
The last time you came here, you did the same thing.
A Republican candidate in Montana's special election is being accused of attacking a reporter. Reporter Ben Jacobs of The Guardian says House candidate Greg Gianforte body slammed him at his campaign headquarters in Bozeman. California Representative Adam Schiff says former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn refused to testify before the House Intelligence Committee.
It is our practice that we invite people to provide information voluntarily, and then only if necessary we subpoena them, so we are in discussions about issuing the requisite subpoenas now.
For details on all of today's news, go to WesternJournalism.com. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allen Root, otherwise known as Mr. Relentless. To be relentless requires constant energy. That's why I take NAD Plus Cell Regenerator from Life Extension. As we age, our cellular metabolism declines. But you can fight back with NAD Plus. NAD Plus provides advanced support for cellular health. It revitalizes your cellular energy. Now you can get NAD Plus at half off. That's 50% off retail price only for my listeners. Call toll-free 855-870-6622, 855-870-6622. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
U.S. Sports Pages is your absolute one-stop shop for sports news. Why spend hours researching multiple sites to find your favorite team stories when our producers go through every newspaper in the country to pick out the best articles to reduce your prep time? We also include trending topics within the entertainment industry. USSportsPages.com is the only site you'll ever need to get your sports fix. Be sure to check us out today, the daily links at USSportsPages.com. Again, that's USSportsPages.com.
The 2015 Playboy Playmate of the Year is avoiding jail time for a body-shaming incident. Lisa Carter reports.
There was much outrage last year, especially online, when a Playboy Playmate posted a snap of a naked woman at a California gym and then proceeded to body shame her, saying, "If I can't unsee this, then you can't either." Danny Mathers quickly apologized after the incident, but was charged with invasion of privacy. Mathers pleaded no contest to misdemeanor charges Wednesday and got 3 years probation. The 2015 Playboy Playmate of the Year still faces a possible lawsuit from the victim. Lisa Carter.
The top Democrat on the House Intelligence Committee says the panel will issue subpoenas to former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn.
Given what he has already said or the interaction with the Senate, it'll be necessary, I think, to subpoena not only his person but his businesses and, of course, explore what other remedies may be necessary if he refuses to comply.
This is USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allen Root, and I take care of my own health. That's why I subscribe to Life Extension Magazine. And now you could do the same for free. Life Extension Magazine is the ultimate source for health. Every issue is jam-packed with the latest therapies and innovative treatment protocols. And now you could take charge of your own health. My listeners could get a free 6-month subscription to Life Extension Magazine. Just call toll-free 855-870-6622. That's 855-870-6622. Or go to lifeextension.com/war.
The city of Chicago now has new zoning rules for gun ranges after a city council vote Wednesday. David Stewart reports.
The city council approved the new zoning regulations on gun ranges after the earlier laws were struck down by the courts as conflicting with the Second Amendment. Alderman Ed Burke said it's not really a relaxation of city rules because the court wiped those rules off the books.
This ordinance imposes zoning and operating restrictions in response to the mandate of the federal court right up to the line that was drawn in the sand by the federal court.
The changes expand the areas where shooting ranges can be located, set requirements for operators and employees, and now also would allow teenagers to enter a gun range. David Stu, Chicago.
The U.S. Army failed to keep track of at least $1 billion worth of arms and other military equipment in both Iraq and Kuwait. The now declassified Defense Department audit dates back to September of 2016. Andrea Arenas reports.
They show that equipment meant to arm the Kurdish Peshmerga, Iraqi forces, and Shiite militias, including thousands of rifles and hundreds of Humvees, were not properly tracked by the U.S. after their delivery. The audit shines a light on how U.S. military equipment can end up in the hands of extremist groups. In response to the audit, the U.S. military has vowed to improve its tracking systems. Andrea Arenas, Washington.
For USA Radio News, I'm Rod William Stoll.
If you or someone you love suffers from drug addiction, now is the time to utilize your private health insurance PPO plan. If eligible, receive up to $30,000 or more in substance abuse benefits with low or no out-of-pocket cost. We are the National Treatment Network, the premier drug and alcohol treatment referral service operating 24/7. We help connect you with facilities nationwide that accepts PPO private health insurance for substance abuse. If you have PPO substance abuse coverage and you need immediate admittance to a medical detox or residential rehab treatment center, call us now. Call our live referral helpline today. The call is free. This program is not available to Medicare or Medicaid customers.
Call 800-296-0906. 800-296-0906. 800-296-0906. That's 800-296-0906.
Live, worldwide, Sports Byline USA. And here's host Ron Barr. And glad you can hang around for another hour of this edition of Sports Byline. Let me tell you about the next edition. Mike Bossy's going to be here, one of the all-time great players in pro hockey. What a career he had. And then we'll talk some football with a guy that back in the 70s was a part of that great, great Steeler dynasty where in 5 years they won four Super Bowl championships. Rocky Blyer is going to be with us. But, of course, a great story as well. He really didn't think he was going to have a long career in the National Football League or maybe even any career at all because he went to Vietnam and he was hurt very badly over there. The doctors told him he would not be able to play pro football. But Rocky came back and he was in a very inspirational and a very instrumental part of the Pittsburgh Steelers during that run of Super Bowl victories. Then I see coming up on Friday Mike Socia, who is the manager of the Angels, will be with us. Roy Eisenhart will drop by, as he does every Friday. We call it Inside Angle, kind of giving you some insight into some of the stories. So maybe you'll look at it a little bit differently, or maybe you'll have better understanding why some of the things in sports are happening. We're going to be talking baseball in just a second. Tim Salmon's standing by to join us, former outfielder. He played his entire 14-year Major League career for the Angels, and he was known affectionately among the Angels fans as the Kingfish. He is considered one of the greatest players in the Angels franchise history, and he was the American League Rookie of the Year. And then in 2002, Tim really helped guide the Angels to their first World Championship. He hit two key home runs in Game 2 of the World Series against the Giants, and he batted .346 in the series overall. And after overcoming injuries early in his career, he went on to become one of the game's most consistent players, and he has written about it all. The name of the book is Always an Angel, Playing the Game with Fire and Faith. And this book reveals the many hurdles that Salmon had to overcome to become a Major League Baseball player and how he was able to sustain longevity at that level and become one of the most beloved players in Angels history. And one of the things I always respected and liked about him is that anytime you went to Tim for an interview or to find out something about the club, he was always so gracious and professional about interacting, especially with me and the media. And then we're going to be talking with Rob Flater, longtime executive editor at Sports Illustrated. He and Steve Hoffman have put together the ultimate sports fans book. It's called The Sports Bucket List. So we're ready to crank it up. Good to have you with us as we continue across the country and around the world on Sports Byline.
This is Bill's Yard, and Bill's a grill master, not a grass expert. still, no weeds belong in this backyard barbecue kingdom. And with Scott's Turf Builder Weed and Feed, Bill's greasy thumb is just as good as a green thumb. Because Scott's thickens lawns to help crowd out over 50 pesky weeds. So Bill can defeat invaders, green up his lawn, and hold his spatula high. This is a Scott's Yard. Pick up Scott's Weed and Feed today.
My joints used to kill me. I'd wake up with stiff knees and a stiff back, and it wouldn't get much better throughout the day. I went to doctors and took almost every supplement you can think of, and nothing seemed to help. Then I found something called Oil Can Joint Lubricant. They use only top-of-the-line, all-natural ingredients, and I know many companies make similar claims, but here's the big difference. Oil Can ingredients are scientifically formulated to work together faster than anything else in the marketplace. That's guaranteed. I take Oil Can every day. My knee pain was gone in just a few days. So if you have knee pain, back pain, and you've tried everything, try Oil Can Joint Lubricant risk-free right now. I'm confident you'll have fewer aches and pains within days, or we will gladly refund your money. Call right now. 800-989-1795. 800-989-1795. 800-989-1795. 800-989-1795.
Dish TV is better than cable TV. Why? Because you can save 45% on packages compared to your high-priced cable bill. Wow. Take those giant scissors out and cut the cable and save with Dish TV. Plus, you get a free DVR upgrade to record your favorite shows and free installation. And with Dish Anywhere, you can watch TV for free on your mobile device. Act fast. You can save hundreds of dollars. Does your cable company do that for you? I don't think so. Get all the best TV programming at your fingertips at a fraction of the price of cable TV. So say adios, arrivederci, goodbye to the high cable bill, and save up to 45% on Dish TV packages today. These are limited time offers and can change at any time. Call fast. 800-405-2561. 800-405-2561. 800-405-2561. That's 800-405-2561.
Imagine a store that lets you get anything you wanted. An HD flat-screen TV, a high-capacity, ultra-quiet washer and dryer, a complete living room set. And imagine if you didn't need a lick of credit to get it. That store simply believed in you. Imagine if they even delivered it, set it up, and serviced it at no additional cost. Well, that store exists. That's Rent-A-Center. Imagine that. No credit needed. Affordable payment plans. Delivery, setup, and service included. Imagine new possibilities at Rent-A-Center. Rental purchase transaction. See store for details.
This is America's Sports Talk Show, Sports Byline USA. Here's Ron Barr.
Nice to catch up with a friend. Tim Salmon joins us on Sports Byline, the former Major League outfielder who played his entire 14-year Major League career with the Angels, and he has a wonderful book out called Always an Angel, Playing the Game with Fire and Faith. And you know, Tim, when I take a look at this title, it's the fire and faith that I think of and kind of smile a little bit. Tell me about that aspect of your career, how that played into your success.
Well, without a doubt. I mean, when I wrote the book, I pretty much took the standpoint of writing, you know, what it was like when I speak, when I'm doing speaking engagements. You know, people want to hear my story, and hey, when it's my story, I got to tell you the things that, you know, I think are important to me and the things that have, you know, helped make my career what it was. And, you know, fire and faith, you know, really signifies two things that really made me who I am. I mean, my faith, you know, that my faith in Christ that was established in my grandmother, you know, that's a building block, a foundational part of my life that, you know, helps me make the decisions that I make. And then, you know, the fire, I mean, the trials that I went through, the struggles I went through that I think most fans out there have no clue that, you know, that a player of my kind of success would have gone through. I think most people think when they see a star athlete that, you know, everything's been good for them or easy for them, and they don't realize that sometimes, you know, those guys have gone through the depths of some deep trials, and it's only getting through those that give them the strength to succeed at the highest level somewhere down the road.
Share with people what some of those trials were during your childhood.
Yeah, well, you know, for me as growing up, I mean, I think, you know, being a product of divorce, you know, we bounced around a lot, my brother and I. We lived in a lot of different places. I went to, like, you know, 8 different schools growing up. And, you know, I think as a youngster, the trial was never being in a familiar place for more than a year. And I think, you know, what it did for me athletically, I mean, everywhere we went, we always played, you know, sports of some sort. And, you know, it always made me prove myself in every new environment. And, you know, that's something that, you know, I think, you know, not having the luxury of, you know, people knowing you, you know, it just, you know, constantly was, you know, providing an environment where I had to, like I said, prove myself and bring my A game all the time. But, you know, as I got older, you know, I had some pretty significant injuries, you know, getting into pro ball. And, you know, I got hit in the face twice, you know, back-to-back seasons. Once I broke my nose, and the next year I broke my jaw. And, you know, there's just so many things along the way, along the journey that, you know, at least my experience has been when I share these stories with people, they're really surprised because, you know, they don't expect it to be that much of a, you know, of a journey.
That instability of moving around so much, Tim, can be really unsettling for a youngster. Was it your grandmother that kind of gave you the stability along the way? And what was it that she said to you to get you to see the bigger picture?
Well, yeah, it was. I mean, she we always had a safe place, you know, to go to. I mean, regardless of, you know, the bouncing around my parents did, you know, there was always that safe place when I was with my grandma, you know, that I could always rely on. And she was kind of that, you know, that grounding force in my life. You know, she, devout Catholic, you know, woman that, you know, she taught me early on that, you know, hey, you know, your Father in heaven's always looking out for you, and he's just a simple prayer away. And, you know, anytime you're in a situation that, you know, you're not sure of the circumstances or, you know, what to do next, just know that your Father's in heaven's always looking out for you. And that was the basis of, you know, my early faith. And you know, it really carried me through some of those tough times as a youngster when you're trying to figure out the world, and, you know, there's just so much instability going on around you and so many unknowns. And, you know, so from a faith standpoint, that was really, you know, something that she developed in me at an early age and, you know, got me through some you know, trials early on.
One of the things that I have come to understand in talking to so many athletes that have had similar backgrounds as far as youngsters and that instability is that usually some type of mentoring or maybe even a father image came along in the face of a coach. Were there some coaches along the way that were pretty instrumental in your life as well, Tim?
Oh, yeah, there were. I mean, I think every coach I had, you know, growing up, I mean, you know, you can imagine living with a single mom or, you know, early on, you know, she'd do her best to try to get me to practice, but so much of the time I relied on the coaches, you know, to help get me to and from practices. So I think every coach, you know, ended up at some point, you know, picking me up or taking me home or keeping me over for dinner one night or something. And so I'm thankful for them all. But I think as I got into high school and things really started gearing up and getting serious, my high school coach, Ted Blake, really was very impactful and early on in the development of my career. And then, of course, every step along the way, I mean, you know, into college, my college coaches, Gil Stafford and John Pearson down at Grand Canyon University, they're not there anymore, but they were huge in my development and taught me how to play the game the right way. And, you know, and then, of course, all the way through the minor leagues, I mean, every level, you know, there's somebody new that, you know, you spend 6 months with that, you know, has an opportunity to build something into your game. And, you know, so it's little bits and pieces of everybody along the way that eventually gets you to the big leagues. And, you know, you're just drawing on all their, you know, wisdom and teaching to hopefully be successful and, you know, have a career.
Did you have to choose between football and baseball? Because I know your first love was football. Did you think about maybe a football career over a baseball career?
Well, football was always my first love, and I was hoping I'd have a decision to make. But it was made pretty clearly for me when, you know, nobody came knocking after my senior year of football. But, you know, I lived vicariously through my brother. You know, he had the opportunity. He got the full ride to USC to play safety and, you know, had a little stint in the NFL. So I got my football fixed through him. But, you know, baseball was the, you know, I played all the sports. I mean, you know, back in those days, I mean, you played whatever was in season. I was a three-star letterman, you know, three-sport letterman, football, basketball, and baseball. So, you know, it's just the next sport in season. And after it was all said and done, you know, baseball was the one that had the open doors. So, you know, I wasn't disappointed by any means. I mean, but, you know, it's really interesting for that high school athlete, you know, when they're used to playing a lot of different sports to all of a sudden, okay, now you're focusing on one sport year round. And you know, hey, it worked out great for me that it was baseball. It gave me longevity, you know, ultimately in the long run. And, you know, I had a nice career, so.
Tim, when you think about baseball, and when did you sense that, hey, I can make a career out of this? This could be my job. When did that come to you?
Well, I think it comes when you first get drafted. I had actually gotten drafted out of high school, but it wasn't early. It was in later rounds, so I didn't really give it a full consideration. But you know, once I got into college and I started, kind of surrounding myself with scouts and different people that could kind of, share with me what the professional game was all about. That's when I kind of started thinking about it. And, that when you first get drafted and you go out to play, in that first summer, wherever that is, that first time you get a paycheck for playing the game of baseball, it's mind-boggling because you're going, wait, this is a game. This is something I do whether they paid me or not, and they're paying me for it. So, I think it's that first season of pro ball where you're actually making a paycheck that you're going, wow, I could do something with this. Although, reality hits in pretty quickly, when you start, sizing up the talent around you and you're kind of going, wow, there's a lot of guys, trying to get to that, to that top level. And so it's very sobering to think that you'd ever, get to the big leagues. But, nonetheless, I was getting paid to do it even in the minor leagues. So that was pretty amazing.
One of the things that I have a deep appreciation for and respect for is the discipline mentally that you athletes have. And you talked about it a little bit earlier about overcoming the two beanings back-to-back seasons in the minors. How did you overcome it? The first time it happens, it's one thing. But to happen a second time, you got to deal with the mental, I would think, an awful lot when you have to overcome that.
Yeah, you do. And for me, everybody has their own story and their own trials and the way they've dealt with it. And, for me, part of sharing, my story is, it was my foundation of faith. Just trusting in the Lord and trusting that, once again, my simplistic view at the time of my Father in heaven, that my grandmother taught me, he's watching out for me. He's in control of it. Nothing's outside of the control of God. And, and just really coming to that realization. And more than anything, I think as I, had those times of contemplation, with my jaw wired shut, I think what really came to me was that, hey, there's, don't put all your eggs in one basket. You love the game, you want to play, but, let's not make it so serious that, I lose sight of the bigger picture. I was married at the time, and I have other options out there, kind of taking the pressure or the stress off it. Because I think so much of the time in the minor leagues, you can get so focused and, you're trying so hard and you're kind of beating your head against the wall. And sometimes just taking a step back and gaining a new perspective that, and in my case, with my faith, believing that, there's a greater hand or power, that's dictating, my ultimate success or not. And just kind of, giving up some of that control in the game. And, it gave me a greater perspective, when I came back to, just kind of appreciating the game for what it was and appreciating each day and each game for what it was and the coaches and the teachings that, that I was getting each day. It just gave me a different perspective on, the way I approached the game from then on out.
Tim Salmon has joined us on Sports Byline, former Major League outfielder who played his entire 14-year career with the Angels. And, of course, in 2002, he helped guide the Angels to their first World Championship, hitting a couple of key home runs in game number two of the World Series against the San Francisco Giants. We'll talk to him about his years in the Major Leagues and his career as we continue with more of you and Sports Byline.
Do you use the blue pill to charge your sex life? Have you been thinking about trying the blue pill? What if we can promise you the same results for less than $3 a pill? If you're paying $20 a pill for the other pills, you're getting taken to the cleaners. Our pill delivers the exact same results for less than $3. We'll do the math for you. You'll save more than $16 a pill for the same results. Want more? We'll give you 40 blue pills or 40 yellow pills for $99 and add 4 more pills free. You save more than $500. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to know what to do next. You need to call and get your 44 pills for just $99. Stop overpaying for the other blue pills. Call us and start saving a ton of money for the exact same results. Ordering is fast and easy with your pills delivered to your door in a non-marked package. 800-223-0992. 800-223-0992. 800-223-0992. That's 800-223-0992.
Hey there. Did you know that with a bachelor's degree, on average, you could make almost twice as much over a lifetime than a person with just a high school diploma? It's true. According to the 2012 U.S. Census Bureau, college grads with a bachelor's degree make almost twice as much as high school grads. Now, going back to school is easier than ever at Independence University. Log on and complete coursework from the park or the beach or even your couch watching the kids. And Independence University gives you the tools, a free tablet and laptop for undergrad students to use and keep when they graduate. That's right. Get a laptop so you can go to college from anywhere. Take the first step to a new career in business, information technology, healthcare, or graphic arts. Call to find the online degree program that's right for you, and you could be on your way to increasing your earning potential.
800-797-1256. 800-797-1256. That's 800-797-1256.
Listen closely. You don't have to live with knee pain. You heard right. If you're 65 or older and suffering from knee pain, you may qualify for an advanced pain-relieving brace at little to no cost to you. Dr. Approved Medical, America's trusted resource for knee braces, will work with Medicare or insurance benefits to see if you qualify for these knee braces. Many people are now using our knee brace as an alternative to surgery or harmful medications and experience pain relief they haven't felt in years. The only way to see if you qualify is to call us. 800-816-0365. One of our friendly experts will handle all paperwork and have it delivered for free. Don't let your knee pain turn into something worse. Find out now about these advanced knee braces now covered by Medicare or insurance benefits. Call now and get free shipping, plus a complimentary, easy-to-use pedometer. 800-816-0365. 800-816-0365. 800-816-0365. Little to no cost with full insurance payment, copay, and deductible. Supply promo subject to qualification while supplies last.
This is America's Sports Talk Show, Sports Byline USA. Here's Ron Barr.
Tim Salmon has joined us on Sports Byline, and again, I want to urge you to check out this book. It's a great read. It's called Always an Angel, Playing the Game with Fire and Faith. Tim Salmon, the outfielder for the Angels, joining us. When you came up to the Angels in 1992, it was a different club than the one that you found that you played on in 2002 when you won the World Series. Gene Autry was the owner of the team at that time, and they really had not done anything in Major League Baseball. Tell me about that first year when you were in the majors.
It was a transition year for sure. I mean, they were on the back end of going out and spending the money on free agents and trying to win, and they kind of saw that it really wasn't panning out the way they wanted to. And then you had teams like Atlanta and Cleveland that were kind of building from within, and you could see the fruit of some young talent and the infusion and what it was doing. So the Angels were kind of, coming around to accepting that kind of a philosophy, and I was right there, that first group of guys that really were given those opportunities. So it was a different time. I mean, it was kind of some weeding out of the old guard and infusion of the newer players, and we took our lumps. I mean, I think the mindset went from a playoff contender to, okay, let's let the kids play and start developing. And that's always a tough always a tough sell on the fans. But looking back on it, it gave myself and quite a few young players a unique opportunity to really cut their teeth in the big leagues. And for the most part, I mean, some of us have developed into some, developed some great careers out of it. I mean, you look at Jimmy Edmonds and Garrett Anderson and Troy Percival and Damian Easley. I mean, those were some of the guys early on that, were given that opportunity. And, we've had some, we've all had a nice career out of, from that humble beginning or that humble start. So it was a pretty amazing time. And, I'm thankful for those opportunities. I mean, Mr. Autry, was my first owner, and I think my dad was more excited that I played for him than I was. I wasn't quite my generation, but I caught on pretty quickly, being around him, and he was just a legend, it was great to have the time that I did have with him.
Well, you mentioned those players. You had Garrett Anderson, Chili Davis, Chuck Finley, and Jim Abbott, and I've talked with Jim Abbott before because I find him so inspirational and a very interesting story, as most people know, only with the one hand. When you take a look from a competitive standpoint, because you played this game at a very high level, and look at what he was able to accomplish with the limitations, the physical limitations he has, how amazing was that from your perspective?
Well, I mean, it's truly amazing. I mean, when you're young and you're strong and, you feel invincible and you have all these tools to work with, the game does you know, at times seem a little easy, but all it takes is a few breakdowns and injuries and, you know, to really, you know, bring you some humility pretty quickly. And so from that standpoint and experiencing that later in my career, you know, when you look back at a guy like Jimmy Abbott that, you know, really, you know, he had one tool. He could throw the ball. And I shouldn't say one tool. He had an amazing competitiveness and an amazing drive to him and discipline that, that you know, took him beyond, you know, his physical limitations. But it is amazing when you look back on what he was able to accomplish, you know, all the way through and, you know, probably a lot of the naysayers growing up. But, you know, there's not a better guy in all of baseball than Jim Abbott. And, you know, once again, just to be able to, you know, kind of share a few years with him early on in my career. It was just amazing, and just an amazing guy to be around.
You had the opportunity firsthand to take a look at that great streak that Cal Ripken Jr. had, 2,132 consecutive games. When you look upon that as well, another professional looking at another's professional record like that, what amazed you most about what Cal was able to do?
Like I mentioned just a few seconds ago, I mean, injuries are part of the game. I mean, you know, as hard as I trained and worked out and tried to avoid, you know, the possible things that were out there to, you know, to bring about injuries, I still got injured. I mean, I still found myself in the DL from time to time. And to see a guy like Cal playing such a demanding position like shortstop and hitting in such a demanding part of the lineup his whole career and, you know, just the demands of, you know, that it took on him day in and day out, and to think that somehow he avoided the injuries that, you know, sometimes are seem like they're unavoidable. I mean, it's just amazing to me to when I look at him, somebody like that, and to think, man, how did he just some of the simple things that you run across, a pulled hammy or something on a cold night, you know, how did he avoid all that? It's just truly amazing. Ron, I think I told you maybe a story in the book. I don't know if I mentioned the book or not, but a quick Cal Ripken story. That night when he broke that record, I think it might have been the fourth or fifth inning. I think it might have been the inning that really made it an official game. I was on first base, and they gave me a hit and run, and it was a busted hit and run. The guy swung and missed, and they threw me out at second base. Well, as I slid into second base, my spikes got caught on his glove. And for a split instant, you know, he kind of pulled his hand away like I spiked him. And I tell you what, it was like the world stopped right there as I'm watching Cal flinch. And thinking, man, did I just spike Cal Ripken on the night that he's trying to break Gehrig's record and, you know, send him on the, you know, put him on the DL with some stitches in his hand or something like that? But quickly found out that he was fine. But I was just amazed at how close, there again, he came to an injury. And, you know, and just in something as normal as me sliding into second base and him catching a spike. So, you know, I always look back on that going, boy, you know, if I would have hurt him on that night, you know, I don't think there was enough Secret Service there that night to protect me.
Tim Salmon is with us, and we're talking about his book, Stories Like That, and many other great stories in this book, Always an Angel, Playing the Game with Fire and Faith. One thing I've always found on successful ball clubs is that there's always one personality, or maybe a couple of personalities, that keep the team loose. Now, you know where I'm going with this with Wonder Dog. He was from Mars, I believe, but can you talk about some of his antics that you tell stories about in this book?
Rex Hudler is just truly a colorful personality. I mean, the guy is just bouncing off the wall 24 hours a day. And you know, it takes about a month being around him to realize, you know, it's not an act. That is just his personality. And it's his greatest trait or greatest thing that he brings to the ball club, because he just has a way of infusing energy and excitement to, you know, to the players around him and encouraging guys. I mean, he's such a great encourager. And, you know, just he'll lift the morale of any clubhouse he walks into. And, you know, on many occasions, he was always doing something to kind of, you know, get us going. But on one particular occasion, I think we won, you know, in spectacular fashion after the game. And you know, he was notorious for doing crazy things, obviously. And everybody's in the locker room after the game, you know, and, you know, things are pretty, you know, the festive type atmosphere. And he all of a sudden comes running through the locker room in nothing but his spikes. So wearing no uniform and just his spikes, does a head-first slide across the tables in the middle of the room, and then he gets on the, you know, runs to the back wall, and he proceeds to do these standing push-ups, bare naked. It's just, I mean, it was quite a sight to see, but you know, once again, that was his way of, you know, sharing his excitement with the guys. And I got to tell you, it was more than an eyeful for most of us. It's an image that is ingrained in my head, and it will be for the rest of my life.
Is that necessary, a necessary part to have somebody on a ball club that can break the tension, especially during maybe September when you're in a drive?
Yeah, it always is, especially, you know, when it's a veteran guy that, you know, really has a keen sense of awareness for, you know, kind of what the club needs at any particular, given time or situation. So it is. It's a very important because, you know, the game, especially now, is so serious, and there's so much, you know, put in on a daily basis, you know, as far as wins and losses. And, you know, any team that's, you know, in the hunt or going down the stretch, I mean, obviously starts feeling some of that pressure. And to have, you know, guys like him or, you know, leaders on the team that know how to break that tension up in any way is vital to any club. And when I look back at the Angels my last few years, I mean, that was one thing that Mike Socha was always good at, was, you know, having key guys on the team or coaches or staff or whatever that could, you know, help build some of that positive chemistry and you know, really kind of lighten the mood when it needs to be lightened, and, you know, help guys just, you know, relax and have fun and play the game, and, you know, like they did earlier in the year, and alleviate some of that stress late in the year.
We only have a minute left, Tim, but what would you like readers to take away from this book?
Well, I think perseverance is one of the things that I just have always been a big proponent of. And when I talk to my kids or anything, it's just talking about, you know, hey, things don't come easy. And if you expect things to be easy, you know, you're going to be disappointed. So you have a decision to make. You can either persevere through it or you can walk away from it and forever, you know, question yourself and the challenge or the opportunity you had. And I was always one that persevered. You know, things never came easy, and that's just a reminder. I mean, I think people will look at the back of my bubblegum card and say, hey, had a great career, you know, he must have rolled out of bed being able to hit and must have been destined for the big leagues. And I say, hey, no, I had a lot of situations that you guys would have never dreamed of, and I had to persevere through many of these things. And, you know, just to let you know that if you persevere, there is light at the end of the tunnel, and all your dreams can come true, but you got to be able to and be willing to pay the price and persevere through some of these trials. So that's probably the biggest thing that I would want the readers to take away from it.
Tim, I want to thank you because you've always been kind to me over the years. You are one of the truly good guys in all of sports, not just baseball, because you've always been thoughtful, courteous, and I appreciate the time. Congratulations on this book. Please come back anytime and join us again on Sports Byline.
Hey, Ron, I really appreciate it. And if I could just make one more comment, you know, hey, guys, you can purchase my book on my website, timsalmon.com. All my proceeds go to my foundation, which go to support great charities there in Orange County and here at my home in Phoenix, Arizona. So all the proceeds are going to good causes, and please pick up a book on my website, timsalmon.com. So thank you very much.
And I hope people will check it out. Take care, Tim.
Hey, thanks, Ron. Really appreciate it.
Tim Salmon with us. We take a break. Continue with more of you and America's Sports Talk Show.
Nobody really needs or wants home security until it's too late. You've heard the statistics about how many burglaries there are per day. You see the news. You know there are people out there that do bad things. The best way to help protect your home and your property is with an ADT monitored system from Protect Your Home, an ADT authorized premier provider. Call right now to get a free wireless home security system valued at $850. An ADT monitored system can help protect your home from fires, theft, floods, and call for emergency help. Call now to find out more about our $850 free wireless home security system and start enjoying the peace of mind of security today. Call 800-587-4281, 800-587-4281, 800-587-4281. This offer is for new customers only. Termination fees apply. $99 customer installation charge and 36-month monitoring agreement required. All for details. License terms and conditions available at secureathome.com.
Attention to anyone that's written a book or wants to write a book. The process is not that complicated. Take a first step. Even if you write a page a day, you'll build momentum and your book will become a reality. The hard part is getting it published. That's when you need to call Page Publishing. They've got hundreds and hundreds of thank yous from different new authors, just like you. They make the process of publishing your new book and getting it sold online a simple process. You can learn how simple it is right now by calling for your free Page Publishing New Author Submission Kit. One quick 3-minute phone call, that's all it takes to get free information and learn how you can get your book published. Pick up your phone right now and call us 24 hours a day at this number. 800-603-0885. 800-603-0885. 800-603-0885. That's 800-603-0885.
Rebuild or replace transmission, $3,200. Anti-lock brake system, $1,000. Rebuild or replace engine, $2,400. Truth is, once your manufacturer's warranty runs out, it's all on you. Every last cent. Get protection for covered repairs with a vehicle service contract from Toco Warranty. Unlike other companies, with Toco, there's no down payment, and the monthly payments are really affordable. Not sure how long you're keeping your car? At Toco, you can pay as you go. Keep your hard-earned cash and call Toco Warranty right now at 800-222-2313 to save big money on covered auto repairs. Prices vary by vehicle, but for about the cost of a tank of gas per month, a Toco plan has your back on expensive covered car repairs. Monthly payments are very affordable. Get your free quote now. Call Toco at 800-222-2313. That's 800-222-2313. 800-222-2313. Cancellation fee may apply. Subject to eligibility. Not available in Missouri and Washington. Waiting period and deductible apply. Coverage provided and administered by Warrantech Corporation or its affiliates. Not affiliated with any manufacturer or dealership. Visit TocoWarranty.com for complete terms and conditions.
This is America's Sports Talk Show. Sports Byline USA. Here's Ron Barr.
Rob Flader joins us on Sports Byline, longtime executive editor at Sports Illustrated, and among the books that he edited were Sports Illustrated 50, also SI Baseball, the baseball book, and SI, the football book. And Rod and Steve Hoffman have put together the ultimate sports fan's book called The Sports Bucket List, 101 sites every fan has to see before the clock runs out. And in the introduction, Rob, you have written, as we check items off our bucket list, these checks are mementos, and the lists are scrapbooks of all the places we've been and the games we've seen. But the list isn't just historical. It's aspirational, a to-do list, a note to ourselves about our agenda, and impatiently tapping toe, time's a-wasting, what are you waiting for? What was the criteria for something making that list in your book?
Well, I think it was after spending 20 years or more at Sports Illustrated, looking at sports stories, telling them in words and pictures, and going to an awful lot of events, we thought we had something to add to the ongoing conversation among sports fans about, you know, what's the greatest thing you ever saw? And boy, that was an unbelievable game. You've got to go to Lambeau Field in the winter. So it was just, I think it's kind of a list that all sports fans keep to themselves, whether consciously or not, of the great things they've seen and things that you see along the way that you wish you were there for and mean to be there, you know, while you still got a chance.
Was there something that made an event or someplace stand out to you?
Well, I think it's a combination of things. It can be a lot of there are a lot of factors involved. The book is sort of roughly divided into people, great people, individuals or teams that we thought every fan ought to see. Classic places, venues where sports are played, where events are held, and the events themselves, things such as the Olympics, say, or opening day. We're more specific than that in the book, but we want to cover a broad range of sports and cover a broad range geographically. So there were a variety of criteria, but the main one is this just has to be a great thing to see if you're a sports fan.
Also, I noticed there is the Super Bowl, the Kentucky Derby, the Olympics. Those are understandable, but you also included the elephant polo events in Nepal. I love that one.
Well, there you go. We really wanted to be to get to some things that were exotic. And I think at Sports Illustrated years ago, we sent somebody to Nepal to do a story about this thing, elephant polo. They play polo on elephants with these long mallets. And we got extraordinary pictures, and it was just an amazing story. And I just filed that someplace in my sports fan's mind, said, this is something I would like to see while I've got a chance. So there are things like that. There are exotic things, faraway things, things I've never seen but would like to see. And a lot of things that I have seen that are just, as you were saying from the introduction, that are in my memory book, that are, you know, among the great things I ever saw as a sports fan, as a sports editor.
I know you were involved with Rick Riley. He had a book like this come out, did he not, about sports around the world?
Yeah, I worked with Rick for a long time. And he, you know, wrote a column for so long, both for at Sports Illustrated. He had the back page forever. And went all over the place. And I didn't model this after what Rick did, but I always, you know, I kind of envied him, and I appreciated his willingness to go anywhere to see great stuff. And I think that a lot of sports fans have that sort of that spirit of, you know, I'm going to get in the car and drive halfway across the country to see Ohio State play Michigan in the Big House or whatever it is. It's a sense of adventure. It's a willingness to go get it, to go see something that's really worth seeing.
You know, another thing, Rob, is I'm going to assume that when we're talking about sporting events or places where sports is played and everything, that we're talking about cultural differences as well. Tell me how that factored into this book and some of the ones, the stories, the places of some of these culturally different items that appear in this book.
Well, I think just within American sports culture, there's such a wide range of things from, you know, from the big three, from baseball, football, and basketball, which, you know, every American sports fan loves at least one, if not all of them, to more esoteric things like gymnastics. I mean, some would say horse racing these days, all kinds of things more out on the fringe. So even within our country, within our sports culture, I think there's tremendous diversity. And then when you start branching out, you go to places like there, much of the world, of course, soccer is the thing, where it's secondary here at best in most places. And so you go to England, most of Europe, South America for sure. It's just hugely important. And if you just keep going, you go to Australia or that part of the world, they're heavily into rugby. They have their own brand of football. It's fascinating to travel around and see what is embraced in different places and how essentially we all connect with it the same way. We're looking for something basic in sports. And no matter what form it takes exactly, you're looking for that excitement, the thrill. You go to a game, you never know what's going to happen. And if you're lucky, you see something you'll never see again, and you'll never forget.
I might point out to everybody something that enhances this book is the pictures, and I'm just fascinated by the pictures that I'm looking at right now in the book. Tell me a little bit about the photography decisions.
Well, we went to Steve Hoffman and I, my partner on this, worked together at Sports Illustrated. He was the art director. I was an editor of the magazine for many, many years. And that was how we told stories at SI. When you look at the magazine, I always thought of it for a long time. I grew up with the magazine. I thought of it, wow, that's the place where you read great sports stories. And that's certainly true. And that was my end of it primarily at the magazine. I was a storyteller with words and worked with the guys who did that. But half of the geography of the magazine is images. Of course, it's essential to the magazine. That's the illustrated part. And I think, as you're saying, you get a glimpse of things in a picture, in a still picture, even in our age of video and streaming everything and live coverage of just about everything you can imagine. There's something about a still photograph, a great still photograph, that captures the excitement of sports in a way that nothing else can. And so Steve and I are well practiced at that. That was our meat and potatoes for many, many years. And so we looked at, thousands and thousands of pictures, sort of crafted this list. And then we had a photo editor who gathered up just hundreds and hundreds of pictures. I mean, sometimes for a single item, we'd look at 100 or more pictures till we found the one that was just the thing that we wanted. We wanted a moment that sort of that captured the excitement or the ambience or the thrill of each of these items on the list.
You know, Rob, you and I come from a different generation in covering sports. I mean, you were at Sports Illustrated for such a long time, and I began in broadcasting radio and television another generation ago, but I still love the interview process because I think what it does is it gives people a feel for sports and competition. And I'm just wondering, as I have, are you concerned about what technology might do for something like what you've got here and the interview process that I do in everything? Because it just seems like, they said the same thing about the USA Today, you know, because everything was really squeezed down and doesn't give you the full picture of everything. Is this going to go out of vogue, I guess, is what I'm asking?
Well, you know, it's a question that we asked ourselves, and I think everybody who was in the print business and the print journalism business has been asking themselves for decades now. And, you know, when the Internet came along, when electronic media and the availability of all kinds of moving and live images came along, the question that comes up for anybody who's in print or radio is like, well, is this going to put us out of business? Are we going to still be relevant? And somehow through all the years, I think Sports Illustrated has remained relevant, and it's taken many different forms. It's like everything that's survived, you adapt to the times and you add different elements. So, you know, Sports Illustrated is online. The pictures are out there. You look at a version. For instance, Newsweek magazine did a 12-page excerpt of this book in this week's issue. And if you look at the version that they put up online, there are all sorts of video clips of these events linked to each of the items so that you can look at, you get a little glimpse of live action, but you look at the big photographs and you read the words and they all work together. I personally don't think that books or magazines are going to disappear completely. I mean, I think print is here to stay. It's always been with us. It provides you something different from what you get in these other forms. Certainly the world has changed, and the role of moving images and stream live images is ascendant still and dominant even now. But, you know, you go with everything you got, you use all your tools, and you tell stories in the best ways you can using all of those things. So I don't think the printed word or printed pictures are going to disappear completely. I think they can all work together and enhance the experience that the reader or the viewer gets.
I'm looking at your list, and one thing I don't see, and maybe I've just missed it, is do you have anything in here with the 1982 Stanford-Cal game?
No, there is nothing. I know, of course, I know exactly what you're talking about. And, you know, we considered so many things.
Yeah.
And that's a thing that what I'm sure is on lots of sports fans' memory lists of extraordinary things that you see once and you'll never see again and have to be on your all-time list. But it's not an event that somebody could go back and repeat. It's a once-in-a-lifetime thing. And it is, like I was saying, it's one of those things that I think sports fans are always sort of looking for and hoping for. You never know what you're going to get when you go to a game or an event. And with remarkable frequency, you see something you've never seen before. And then every once in a great while, you see something like that game and those events, and you store it in your book, and you never forget it. It didn't belong, I don't think, in our book, because we were trying to do things that people could replicate, experiences that people could go have moving forward in their lives as sports fans. So we tried to, you know, there were a whole lot of limitations on what we put in there, but that was one of the conceptual ones. It was something that a fan could go do now if he or she wanted to do it.
Yeah, and I can understand that. The only reason I brought it up is that I was calling Stanford games and called that game. And the one thing I was always proudest of is the fact that, you know, Joe Starkey did the Cal game, and most people remember that call. But during the course of that play going on, I had seen out of the corner of my eye on the far side of the field the official that was down the line waving his hands above his head, signaling the game was over with. And, of course, they were still lateraling it all over the field. And once he scored the touchdown, about 30,000 people came out on the field. And I knew the officials were not going to change that ruling in any way. But 10 years later, Rob, on the 10th anniversary of that game, the San Francisco Chronicle ran a picture of the play, and up in the right-hand corner, you could see the official signaling end of the game, and I was so proud that I had called it right.
You were on it. You got it right, yeah. And they got it wrong, and people remember it for all those other things that happened. Yeah, it's crazy, and I think, you know, if you watch sports all your life, you're if it's something that you're enthusiastic about over a long period of time, yeah, everybody has those special things that they saw. They were there when something happened. I was there when Reggie Jackson hit home runs on four consecutive pitches
right.
in the World Series and things of that sort. They could just, you know, you never expect to see something because you couldn't have imagined it. And there you are, you're sitting in the stands when this happens, and it's just something you'll never forget.
In about 30 seconds, quickly tell me what you want people to take away from this book.
Well, I want them to get the feeling. I want them to get a glimpse of 101 of that sort of things, of the sort of things that make us sports fans, the kind of excitement and thrills and awe of an athletic performance that makes those kinds of permanent memories. I want people to get an idea of things that they could do, places they could go as sports fans where they're likely to get a lifelong memory.
Rob, congratulations on this book. We're going to make it a selection of the month in the Sports Byline USA Book Corner. It deserves that, and I hope people will check it out because it's one of those books you pick up and you really can never put it down because the next page has something else that's interesting, and the photography is just outstanding. So thank you for joining us, Rob.
That's great. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Rob Flader, again, longtime executive editor at Sports Illustrated, and along with Steve Hoffman. I want you to check the book out. It's called The Sports Bucket List. We continue on Sports Byline.
If you or someone you love suffers from drug addiction, now is the time to utilize your private health insurance PPO plan. If eligible, receive up to $30,000 or more in substance abuse benefits with low or no out-of-pocket cost. We are the National Treatment Network, the premier drug and alcohol treatment referral service operating 24/7. We help connect you with facilities nationwide that accepts PPO private health insurance for substance abuse. If you have PPO substance abuse coverage and you need immediate admittance to a medical detox or residential rehab treatment center, call us now. Call our live referral helpline today. The call is free. This program is not available to Medicare or Medicaid customers.
Call 800-296-0906. 800-296-0906. 800-296-0906. That's 800-296-0906.
Dish TV is better than cable TV. Why? Because you can save 45% on packages compared to your high-priced cable bill. Wow. Take those giant scissors out and cut the cable and save with Dish TV. Plus, you get a free DVR upgrade to record your favorite shows and free installation. And with Dish Anywhere, you can watch TV for free on your mobile device. Act fast. You can save hundreds of dollars. Does your cable company do that for you? I don't think so. Get all the best TV programming at your fingertips at a fraction of the price of cable TV. So say adios, arrivederci, goodbye to the high cable bill, and save up to 45% on Dish TV packages today. These are limited time offers and can change at any time. Call fast. 800-405-2561. 800-405-2561. 800-405-2561. That's 800-405-2561.
When you struggle with credit card bills every month, you're not just in debt. Debt is all around you.
I see people every day that are on the brink. They're going to go over the edge, and at the bottom is bankruptcy, and we pull them back.
At the Debt Helpline, we're experts at helping you resolve your debt problems and become free of debt. We can help you pay off your debt and give you one lower monthly payment that you can afford.
You do get to consolidate your payments. You only have to worry about making one payment a month instead of making three or four or five.
If you have $5,000, $10,000 or more in credit card bills, call the Debt Helpline now for a free confidential debt analysis.
800-957-6063. 800-957-6063. Call the CESI Debt Helpline right now for a free confidential debt review. 800-957-6063. 800-957-6063.
This is America's Sports Talk Show, Sports Byline USA. Here's Ron Barr.
And that's going to wrap up this hour of Sports Byline, where we talk baseball with Tim Salmon, former outfielder who played his entire 14-year Major League career for the Angels and affectionately known among the Angels fans as the Kingfish. Also American League Rookie of the Year, and he helped the Angels win their first World Series championship when he hit two key home runs in game number two of the World Series against the Giants, and he had a great series. He batted .346 in that series overall. And then Rob Flader with us, longtime executive editor at Sports Illustrated. He and Steve Hoffman have put together the Ultimate Sports Fans book. Check this one out. It's called The Sports Bucket List, 101 Sights Every Fan Had to See Before the Clock Runs Out. I'm Ron Barr. Good to have you with us here on Sports Byline.
Hi, this is Rick Tittle. Tune in every weekday at 10 a.m. Pacific time for Titillating Sports. I'll take your calls on any sports topic: football, basketball, baseball, hockey, soccer, golf, tennis, auto racing, boxing, Olympics. That's Titillating Sports right here on the Sports Byline USA Broadcast Network.